Hello, Saints. So today I wanted to bring a study / teaching I did on the armor of God. What is the armor of God and how do we put it on? Paul writes, Ephesians 6, 11-17, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We are in a spiritual war, and we fight not with flesh and blood, as it is written, 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In this war we fight, we are taught to put on the armor of God through which we can withstand and overcome. If we want to overcome and endure to the end in this battle, not growing weary and faint, we must put on this armor and use it. The first thing Paul instructs us is to have our loins girt about with truth. Girding up the loins was when men, who dressed biblically to cover their form, would tie up the tunic or robe from their feet to their waist, the purpose being that it would keep you from tripping or stumbling on your own clothes. This is for a good reason the first thing we must do. For if our theology and doctrine, our lives and what surrounds us, and it, is not firmly wrapped in truth, it will stumble us and we will fall. Some scriptures to bring to this topic are first to answer, what is truth? Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." James 1:8, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." 1 John 5:6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." We can see then that truth is the word of God, Jesus the Lord, through the Spirit of truth. How do we gird up our loins with truth that we do not stumble? We take the word of God, the gospel of truth in Jesus Christ, and wrap it around us, as it were. We use it through the Spirit to hold our lives and every actions together by having our every act held in check by the word, making sure it is within the binding of the word of God, and we never go outside of it to let our garments and actions flap loosely, for it will surely trip and stumble us. As the Lord said, John 8:31-32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Keeping the word will make us free in truth, that we can freely move and walk in the light. But John 11:10, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." The next thing we are instructed to do is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate was the largest piece of personal armor one wore. Its purpose was to generally protect the vital organs and provide protections against the various weapons that could bypass our outward defenses and stop them from doing harm. The same holds true here. For the best protection we have against many things is righteousness. When we put on righteousness, holiness, and obedience, it becomes like a plate of armor to keep us from sin and corruption. Consider the following written verses. Proverbs 11:4-6, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs 13:6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 59:16-17. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. 1 John 3:7-8. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We can see then how this breastplate of righteousness works. Through the Spirit of God, we wrap ourselves in truth, and then we bear the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians 5:9. And this righteousness keeps us, guards us, protects us. Not that we would make ourselves righteous, but that through the Spirit we live lives holy unto God, and we walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin, 1 John 1. And if we abide in this, he abides in us, and we are separated from sin unto God, not to be instruments of sin, but righteousness, Romans 6. The way this protects us can be testified to by the saints, how that when we walk blameless, even those who would speak evil of us are ashamed. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When we gird our life with truth and protect ourselves with righteousness, we walk in the light, and darkness cannot stand against the light. Consider, too, the following passage, 2 Peter 1:5-10. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Peter writes that if we do these things and are not unfruitful and barren, but have put on righteousness, we shall never fall. This is how the breastplate works. After this, we are told to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When one is in a battle and one stands still, one gets killed quickly. We must move and be quick to attack and defend if we are to endure this battle. This is critical, and we are told what moves us, the gospel of peace. The Holy Spirit is likened to wind in John 3, and Jesus also calls him rivers of living water. The Spirit is always moving. By definition, wind is not winded if it is not moving. And we must likewise be always moving and pressing on. To stop moving on the narrow way is to stop walking it. To lose our first love and grow lukewarm will end in destruction. But we must look to have our feet shod with this gospel of peace, and always move and let the work of the gospel carry us where God would have us. Defending and contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, or attacking and going forth with the word of life to rebuke sin and heresy, to call men out of sin into peace with God through Christ and his shed blood, as it is written, 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. this is the gospel of peace that must move us. And just like we must tie our shoes firmly to our feet that we do not step out of them and hurt ourselves, we must tie this gospel to our walk and never step outside of it, and every step must land in this gospel of truth or it will be to our own hurt. We do this also by obeying the word of truth, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. After this, we are told to, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is our defense against the enemy and accuser of the brethren. 1 Peter 5:8, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The way this works is that everything that comes toward us is met with faith, and faith is put before us that through it we are guarded from sin and temptation. Our faith is in God and His Word, and one example is that everything is tested to God's Word and must pass through the scrutiny of the light of God's truth, and the Word and faith goes before us, and the Lord who overcame and is faithful stands as our refuge. We put this shield up, a barrier between us and the world and the enemy, and we take all the fiery trials and attacks it throws at us, and we put Scripture in between. Passages such as Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And many, many more. And when we look to the Word and crucified one in faith, the attacks of the enemy are not able to get to us, but rather they strengthen us when we see the truth and power of the Word of God and shield of faith in them, as is written Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure, He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. After this, Paul tells us to take the helmet of salvation. A helmet protects the head, for it does not take much of a blow to the head to kill or hurt a man, and likewise, if we do not guard and protect our minds, it will not take much to cause destruction. We put on this helmet of salvation by keeping our mind on things above, where our Savior and salvation is, by having our minds filled and surrounded by the salvation of our God, the crucified Lamb of God, and His gospel. When we have put on this helmet of salvation, even when an attack would be able to get through our shield through unbelief, it will protect us from destruction and we can get up and keep fighting. This is why it is repeatedly charged us to keep our eyes on Christ. Consider the following scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Colossians 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Psalm 78:7. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Jeremiah 17:7-9. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Romans 5:2-5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. 1 Peter 1:13-15. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Guard your hearts and minds, saints. Do this by having your complete focus and mind on Christ crucified, and the gospel of hope and salvation, and the hope we have in it if we endure. And finally, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is our weapon and the way we fight. This is how we resist the enemy that he flees from us. This is how we overcome. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Isaiah 49:2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Look to our Lord. This is his sword, which will conquer and destroy the enemies. Revelation 1:13-18. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Revelation 19:11-16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Saints of the Most High, the Lord of Glory has given you the armor to stand fast and withstand and overcome, and he has given us his very own sword to fight with. Take it like strong men of God, even the sister saints, have a manly and strong spirit, and grasp hold of this armor and sword, and you will be able to withstand and then stand. One more thought on this. Have you noticed how the armor is not a passive thing? It is not something that we just somehow get because we believe or claim Christ, and then God has you dressed as a soldier. But it is when we keep his commandments and ways and walk in the light, this guards and shields us from sin and the enemy. People have this idea of a sort of spiritual warfare where they picture the battle and the end result as being some kind of a slavery to these evil people, much like the Christian nationalists. This is just another example of Satan's cunning craftiness. The war is against sin and darkness. The armor of God keeps us from sin and corruption and keeps us walking holy and unblameable before our Lord. The slavery of sin is what we fight, knowing that John 8:34, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin, as well as Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Keep this in mind, beloved saints, and go forth equipped with this armor, and stand fast. And Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen.